Back again, after a short interval. I hope you enjoyed your coffee and Danish. It's Valentine's weekend, and I'm sure many people in the room were simply tripping over the cards, the flowers, and the chocolates around their house. It always reminds me of the first Valentine's Day as a married couple, my wife, Suzanne, and I. Picture the scene. The doorbell rings, and my wife, Suzanne, comes down the stairs to see a delivery guy standing on the other side of the door with a huge bunch of red roses. Her heart simply explodes with excitement and joy as she realizes once again what an amazing guy she has married. She opens the door with a smile on her face to hear the unforgettable words, "I'm sorry, love, these are for next door, but she's not in." Poor Suzanne accepted the delivery of someone else's flowers, and with disappointment in her heart and feeling excluded, she walked into the kitchen to find a handwritten note from her not-so-amazing husband saying, "Happy Valentine's Day, XO, hang the washing out." Thankfully, the swelling in my left eye went down within a week, and the doctor said there wouldn't be any permanent damage to my jaw. Have you ever felt excluded or felt of little worth? Like everybody is part of something and you're left out? Maybe being picked last for a school sports team. Maybe being bullied in your workplace. Or a moment when you felt that you have nothing to contribute to a conversation. Moments like this can leave us feeling anxious, scared, embarrassed, or useless. And if an experience like this happens regularly, then we naturally seek ways to avoid that experience and therefore embed the notion that, well, I have nothing useful to offer in that particular area. Being excluded or feeling that we have nothing to offer is not an enjoyable place to be, and it impacts our relationships in those spaces. Thankfully, when it comes to church, we all have something to offer. We all have a unique role to play in God's outward-facing mission. And the image of the church that Paul uses to communicate this in his letter to the Corinthians is a body with many parts. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 12 through to 27. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but just one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that There should be no division in the body, but that its part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God's use of the image of the church here as the body of Christ in verse 27 is a really bold and evocative one. It places the church in an incarnational place in God's mission. And this means that following Christ's ascension, the church is the fleshed out, living, breathing, visual, side by side, up close and personal representation of the life of God in the world. We are the body of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our lives together as a church are like a window advertisement to the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the unreached people around us want to know who Jesus is, what he is like, and whether he is worth knowing, then they will naturally observe our lives and the actions of the church. As we consider community and what community might look like, how might we cultivate a community around the life of the church that we are comfortable to invite unreached people into, that they would want to experience? This message will hopefully challenge us to intentionally look for opportunities to move the relationships we have built outside of church into the community around the church by inviting and walking alongside people on their journey towards Jesus. So if the first session was helping us think about how to build those relationships outside of church in our everyday lives, this session we want to think about how can we begin to think about experiencing community with people around the life of our church. Of course, the church community is not perfect, but even our response to our mistakes tells a story of who Jesus is, because we are the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, says in verse 27. Paul draws parallels throughout this passage between a physical body with many different parts and the body of Christ, the church having a diversity of people with different gifts, different abilities and mission. Four things that we want to celebrate from this passage are this. Firstly, we are included. We see this throughout the passage, but particularly within verse 27, which we just read. Everyone has a part to play. Some roles are public and others are private. Some are obvious and others are subtle. Some are attractive and others are less so. But everyone is included. Secondly, we are gifted. We see this in verse 18, whenever Paul says, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Everybody has a part to play in the body of Christ, and you have been gifted for it. Perhaps you know exactly what your gift is and you're already using it. That's fantastic. Keep going. Others may not know their gift, or others may know their gift, but they're unsure of how to use it in God's mission. And perhaps there are others who are unsure of what your part of the body is. And that's okay. I hope that with prayerful reflection, that you will have a clear sense of God pointing you towards the part of the body that he has equipped you for and the opportunities to serve in the mission of God together. Sometimes just giving things a go is a helpful way to figure this out. Thirdly, we are only a part. In verses 15 to 20, we are told of the diverse parts of the body and how we are to be content with the part that we have been given and not to be distracted or envious or demeaning of other parts. We are reminded here that we are only a part of something we do together. We are always part of a bigger whole that is the church, as God's primary vehicle for outreach. We are only a part. And lastly, we are invited. God doesn't need us, but he does invite us. into his mission through the church. He will act with us or without us. But in the picture of the church as a body, it's clear that our non-participation limits the body. So in verse 26, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Despite our faults, we are invited into his mission. And the question then is whether we accept the privilege of being part of his work or not. We offer our gifts not because the mission will fail without us, but as an overflow of thanks to the master of the mission for what he has already done for us. Are we contributing members of the body of Christ, or are we consumers? Are we actively serving God and sharing him with others? As we reflect on the four things to celebrate and accept the invite to serve in God's mission through the church, the body will be stronger, and we will be cultivating a community that presents a picture of Jesus to the world. Perhaps we all need some help in discovering what our part of the body is, widening our perception of how we can contribute to the mission of God through the body of Christ. So let's think about the body of Christ in action. Building on Paul's picture of the body with many parts, let's consider what might this look like, both individually and corporately as a church. Firstly, eyes. How can we be looking out for those who are around our church who don't yet follow Jesus? So what might this look like? Well, how can we be alert to new people at church services or activities and respond with a friendly welcome? How can we notice a new mother in our area? You have a conversation where you invite them then to the tots group in your church, or invite them perhaps to a social night within your PW group. How can we have eyes that see? How can we have hands? How can we be serving in ways that enable the church to be the sort of place or environment that those coming in from the outside can be welcomed and quickly feel at home? The video Stephen talked about, that moment of trepidation when he was standing outside the church for the first time, I don't think we get that. We've all been around church for too long. We think it's easy for someone to walk in. It's incredibly intimidating and fearful for people. How can we be the people who make that as easy as possible for people? You might find it hard to strike up a conversation with new people, but you can serve tea and coffee, and you can use that as a more natural platform to make new people feel welcome. I often think that serving refreshments after church services is just a really effective way of allowing unreached people to experience the community of the church. Maybe you can offer to help with the BB or the GB and look for opportunities there to meet and get to know the parents as they arrive or as they leave. How can we be eyes? How can we be hands? How can we be feet? How can we walk over to include those who find themselves on the edge of conversations or anxious about being around church? How can we help people to become part of the community? What might this look like? Well, can we spend less time around church chatting with our Christian friends and instead walk over to those who look a bit uncomfortable and strike up a conversation? Introduce them to other people within the church that they might have something in common with. What about our heart? How can we show compassion? How can we show compassion for, or take time with, or pray and care for those who are experiencing hardship, loneliness, or exclusion? What are the things that we can celebrate as a church family? What might this look like? Well, can we look for ways to extend the pastoral care of the church in responding to needs in the community, such as loneliness or isolation? What if a local primary school team wins the cup? Some of the children attend your organizations. Why not announce and celebrate that within your church service? Why not organize and host a community celebration for the team, their families? something that really shows the heart of the church for the local community. How can we have ears? How can we listen well to the stories of others as a first step to finding ways to make appropriate personal links to others with whom an outsider will feel a connection? How can we show genuine interest and concern, begin to think about someone else's unfolding life story and how that maybe suggests connection with what the gospel offers? Hope. What might this look like? Well, when listening to those on the edge of church life, ask yourself, what does good news sound like for this person? And then try to respond appropriately. As you perhaps hear of people's needs, then where appropriate, share that information to the groups in the church who might be in a better place to respond in some way. And lastly, what about our mouths? How can we use our words of welcome to encourage, to build relationships with unreached people who are around church? How can we be the one to tell them about other groups or services within church that might be a next natural step in their journey into the community of the church? What might this look like? Well, speak to those sitting or standing around you when you're at church services or activities. It can be uncomfortable speaking to people that we don't know, but failure to do so can be perceived as unfriendly, which can give people a negative perception of the church community. Always speak well of the community of the church and do so regularly. Tell others what the community of the church looks like in real life. Tell them about the meals ministry that comes whenever people are maybe unwell. Tell them about the pastoral care. Tell them about the support that you receive during illness or grief. Perhaps you hear from someone at church that they're scheduled to go for tests and they're very worried. Can you offer to pray for them? Can you ask perhaps the church prayer team or your small group to pray for them? Let them know that they are being prayed for. Everyone has a part to play in the body of Christ that can help others experience the love of Jesus through extending the church community. Eyes, hands, feet, heart, ears, and mouth to see, help, walk, love, listen, and speak into the lives of people around us. And as we do this, we open up opportunities for unreached people to meet other Christians. If I am the only Christian in my neighbor's life, then I am the weirdo. Introducing them to other Christian friends through the community of church reduces what I like to call the weirdo factor. And it helps to break down any negative perceptions that they might have about the Christian faith, because all of a sudden they know six other Christians and they realize, okay, these people are normal. And that begins to build a sense of intrigue in people's lives that leads to an openness and leads to questions about the Christian faith. So here are a few suggestions of practical ideas as we think specifically about the community that already exists outside of our church and the community that we can cultivate around the life of our church. Some of these could be appropriate for bringing Christian friends together and with unreached friends. So when we think about outside of church and cultivating community well, look around your community. What is already happening that you as a church or as a PW group could participate in and bless, such as the local sports club or a community center, a primary school, a book club, or any other group that might exist within your community? It's not run by your church, but it's there. What needs are not being met locally that you could respond to? So some examples might be, well, organizing a church community cleanup or contribute to a community art mural that sends a positive message about your community. Look for simple ways that the church can contribute to and bless existing events, such as the school fete or the community festival, so perhaps offering to provide refreshments. Be a regular spectator at the local sports club and meet new people there. Offer to help facilitate a carol service within the club. Sometimes the church can be the church building can be a barrier to people attending your events or programs due to the unfamiliarity. It can be helpful to hold some events outside of the church building in places where people are already comfortable, such as a local school or a cafe. Getting involved as a church within your wider community is a helpful way to increase the church's visibility and build trust within the local community that shows that your church cares for the area. And this is a really helpful starting point when inviting and accompanying people to events or activities that are around the edges of the church life. What about around our church? Well, tots groups, bowls, craft groups, youth clubs are generally around the edges of a lot of our churches across PCI. How can you ensure that there's a clear pathway to an encounter with the gospel within these events? How can you think creatively about what other opportunities there are to cultivate community around the church? Often we feel compelled to include an epilogue or a short testimony in every church event that we do, but that is not always helpful, and it can leave people feeling ambushed, especially if they haven't been told that there is going to be a talk. Instead, allow the focus in the around church groups or events to be highly relational, with a clear pathway or an invite to an appropriate encounter with the gospel. So it's crucial that the Christians who lead or attend these groups are encouraged to be intentional in building relationships and cultivating that sense of community. And in time, the pathway to an encounter can be simple as something like this. Why don't you come along to church on a Sunday morning? You know lots of people already, and you might enjoy it. A few examples of other events or groups that cultivate community around churches within our denomination are as follows. So, isolation responses. A friendship group or a drop-in cafe would be an example of that. Loneliness and isolation are huge problems in most communities. Did you know that in the 2011 census for Northern Ireland, the stats are that there are 37% of homes in Northern Ireland that only have one person living in it, or an adult with dependent children. So 37% of homes where one person lives alone or they're living with dependent children. That shocks me. And yet I think as a church, we are so naturally placed to offer people a response to their loneliness and isolation. Organizing a variety of social activities for events for people who are retired, who may feel isolated, or creating space one morning a week for people to meet over a hot drink and a bun can be a really simple way that can be appreciated within the community. Befriending the elderly. Most churches already arrange pastoral visitation to older members of the congregation who might be housebound. But how can we extend this care to those who are outside of our congregation? English language or conversation classes. It can be hugely isolating for migrants settling into Northern Ireland when they don't speak English very well. And there are some great examples of churches that are providing English language or conversation classes and often find that it is greatly appreciated. What about social events? Pampering parties. So beauty therapists and hairdressers find people pouring out to their hearts to them whenever they relax. So why not gather women, give each other a facial or a manicure, pray then that God would guide the conversation and provide you with opportunities to share your faith. Everyone loves a quiz night. That's a really easy opportunity for church members to invite friends. And I think it's even more effective when you tie that in with a fundraising initiative for a well-known local charity that people really would want to get behind. And a shopping trip in rural locations, a trip to somewhere further afield, can be popular and it can appeal to all ages. It's a really easy invite to an unreached friend and a great opportunity to allow people to meet other people within the community of the church. Interest groups, a running club or a couch to 5K. So running and cycling are very popular hobbies that are really very sociable as well. So look for opportunities to think about things like that, if that is appropriate. Cancer support group. I mean, that is such a huge issue within every community that we go into. So why not think about creating and developing a group for those with cancer and their families that can be a vital place of support and care? Or a community choir. The creative arts are a great way of bringing people together around a particular interest or skill. And community choir can often pull people in who are beyond the reaches of our churches. Family support and activity, breakfast or homework clubs. So the provision of affordable childcare for families is greatly appreciated and a wonderful way to connect with those who might not have any link with a church. What about a support group for adoptive or foster parents? Parents who of children from the care system often experience unique challenges. So meeting with other parents who understand this for support and advice can be greatly appreciated. Hear of lots of churches doing community fun days. Families who have young children are always looking for activities to bring their children to that are local and affordable. And again, they provide an opportunity for the church to meet people within their area. And a new mother's gift. I thought this was a great idea I heard of recently, of a church that was putting together a hamper of all the kind of essentials that a new mother might need for their baby. And then whenever they heard of any new babies in the area, they would deliver the hamper along with an invite to their TOTS group. All of these ideas are coming within PCI congregations, and I'm more than happy to speak to anybody about those ideas if they want more information. Ideas like this are often called soft entry points to the church life, and they're informal, but they create a space where unreached people can be around church, building relationships with Christians and experiencing the community of the body of Christ. It's important that groups or events like this have a clear pathway or a funnel to the next step in someone's journey of faith. So through an invite to a church service, a messy church, or an outreach event, or a Christianity Explored or an Alpha course, need to think about how do we funnel people on to the next step that might be part of their journey of faith. As a church, we need to recognize our role as the body of Christ, placed within our community as an active, visible representation of the life of God to those around us. We are a window advertisement to the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In doing this, we have this amazing opportunity to cultivate community, both individually and around church, which presents Christ-like values of love and peace and grace and forgiveness to those around us. And how well we do this will affect their view of Jesus, and it will affect their ability to see and hear the good news message of the gospel. Let's hear another story from a lady called Donna. And again, as you watch this story, consider the significant role of Marlene, Donna's Christian friend, in cultivating her journey towards faith in Jesus.
I grew up in a housing estate called Twinbrook. My mum and dad had separated, so there was just myself and two sisters and two brothers. We didn't have it easy. Mum struggled, so was out most days working. So Sundays to me were a choice whether I went to Mass or whether I didn't. I chose to go to Mass, and I went to Mass up until about the age of 15, and then I just stopped going because the world was more inviting. I then started to work in a place called the Creche. There's lots of girls there with the same things as me. We liked to party, we liked to go out at the weekend, we liked to drink, and life was good, as I thought. It was just wonderful. But then God put a person in my life. She was just lovely. She came into the work in the same room as me, and she was just an inspiration. I just seen a calmness about her. There was just something about her. I couldn't really put my finger on it, what it was, but I really liked her, and I drew towards her and became really, really good friends. She would have occasionally spoke about Jesus. She knew my background, and at this stage I was so against God and against anything to do with him. I didn't want anything to do with him. I believed in him, and I believed what Jesus did on the cross, and I had heard about it, and I knew that, but I didn't want anything to do with it. I was happy. I was happy with my life. My life was going okay. I would have went to her house at weekends, and she would have brought me to church. And I enjoyed church. I enjoyed the music. It was very different from the mass that I would have went to. Very, very different. Even though I didn't understand quite a lot of it, and she got quite a lot of questions afterwards. It was, and every time she would have heard, "But Marling," she knew I was coming up with some question that she was going to have to answer. Time went on, and my mum, I got married, and I moved out to Dromore, and my mum got very ill, and she moved out with us, came to live with my husband and my children with us, and she became ill. She'd got cancer. Mummy had asked me, could I get Marling for her? And I phoned Marling, and she came, and I think this was the point that I feel that the Spirit really started to move in me. And she spoke the words of John 14, "Don't let your heart be troubled, Maureen." And it was the end word where she had said that in Scripture God tells us that I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That really, I went, whoa. That really made me stop, and I went, oh my goodness. So my way to God is through Jesus. After Mum's death, I was all over the place. I was crying all the time, but it wasn't grief. I wasn't grieving for my mummy. I had just these oceans of emotions that I just couldn't control. I hadn't a clue what was going on in me. And I remember saying one night to my husband, "What is wrong with me?" I just kept crying all the time. But as I said, it wasn't tears of sadness. It was actually tears of joy. I could discern that it was tears of joy. And eventually I phoned Marling, and I said to Marling, "Marling, I need to speak to you." And I said, "Marling, what is wrong with me? I really don't know." And of course, the river started to flow again, the tears started to come, and she said to me, "Donna, you're being made a new creation. God has come into your life, Donna." And I said, "You mean I'm a Christian? Is this what it means to be a Christian?" And she said, "Yeah." And it was her that said to me, "You need discipleship now. You need somebody to disciple you. You need a church. You need fellowship." When I came to Drumlock, I was still a very young Christian. And it was a couple of girls there had said to me, "We have a women's fellowship on a Wednesday morning. You know, come along, come and join us." And I thought, maybe that might just be the key. So, because I wanted to be around other women. And I went to the women's fellowship, and they were amazing. Just plain, mature Christian women sitting around a table, God's word opened, just looking at it, finding other opinions. "What do you think God's saying?" "Well, I think he's saying this." It was lovely. And their prayer, oh my goodness, their prayers just drew me away, because I didn't know how to pray. My being saved wasn't just one point, it was a journey over a period of months that I had to realise that this is what was happening to me. It wasn't that I just sat in my bedroom and said, "Right, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm saved." I wouldn't have recognised that. I wouldn't have recognised that at all. So it was a journey that God had took me on, and he'd put people in the right place at the right time, because that's what he does.
What a great story. Yeah. Of somebody just side by side, coming alongside, building a friendship, inviting people into their life in a way that's transformative. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And we can all do it. We can do it. discussion time again. So on your table, you have the images of the eye, the hands, the feet, etc. And there's two questions. You're getting a little bit longer this time to have a conversation around these questions. When have you felt most like you're part of a community or a group of people? What does that look and feel like? What does it look or feel like to be part of something? And what one thing can you action this week that will help others experience a part of the community of the church? So that's really important. I want everyone here to leave today with one thing or one action that they think they could do this week. So take a few minutes around your tables. Okay, folks, I'd be interested even just to hear from one or two tables, but maybe about that second question, an action, something that you think, oh yeah, that's something I would think that I could do, or if you're thinking as a group, maybe your PW or anything like that there, something you could do to help others experience what it means to be part of the community of the church. So, if you thought that was a great idea talked about in your table, then stick your hand up and Pauline will come over and we'll hear it. Ah, Pauline, just to your right.
There we go. This is Janet.
Thank you. Tell us where you're from.
From Claddymore, just outside Market Hill. So we were just chatting and we were thinking there's a football club just beside us, like a 4G or 3G pitch or whatever, and they have regular football competitions and training and all the rest of it. And we were just thinking, what a great way even to go down Saturday morning, bring tea, coffee, flasks, biscuits, and just be there and have a rota organised that we just are there to serve tea, coffee, and an opportunity to chat with people. So I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Yeah. As a parent who regularly watches football on a Saturday morning, I would love that. any other tables want to share one thing that was just they thought was that's a good idea, this is something we could do?
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
Otherwise, I'm going to pounce on somebody.
Oh, there's someone over here. Yeah.
Oh. My name's Yvonne. I'm from Glenhoy Presbyterian Church. And I've been very impressed, Neil, by all of you, what you've said today. And each of us at this table has also been impressed. And we think the baby hamper is an excellent idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Great. Brilliant. One over here.
Okay, one more. Just here, yeah.
Last Sunday, we in our church have a special needs group which meets every fortnight, and we were just celebrating our 10th anniversary, and we had a special service in the church last Sunday morning and invited the parents and the children to come along. Most of these children are severely autistic, and it was just lovely to see the response we had. And a very special morning where a couple of the mothers agreed to be interviewed to say what the group meant to them.
Oh, wow.
And there might be a few Christians parents who come, but most of them are unchurched. And it was just a special moment and very special for our church.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Just, you know, in terms of helping people to feel part of the community and that sense that here's a community, a church that are supporting us or are helping us or with us. So that's lovely. Thanks, folks. This has been a real... Okay, well, one more. The last word.
I have neighbours that I've known for many years, and they know that my husband and I are Christians. They go to a church on and off, but really we've kind of lost touch with them because they're a very busy couple. But recently they were going through a difficult time, and I said to her, look, when we're having our prayer time, we'll pray for you, pray about this. And it was anxious, you know, which was silly. And she said to me, I'd love that. And then she came back later on, and I said, well, we'll pray about that. And she said, yes,
yeah.
I'd love that. So yeah. It's given me great encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
Thank you.
Many of the ideas that are and the content that has been shared with you today exists within the share resource. That's the kind of logo for it. So this was launched in the summertime at PCI. It's a piece of work that I've been working on for a year probably in advance. The videos that you've seen are part of that as well, and there are other videos. And the whole resource is available at that website there on the Presbyterian Ireland website. The resource is really trying to help churches and everybody within the church to think about mission that's realistic. So we want people to pray and live it out, and share the resource will help people do that. We want people to be able to tell their story and the gospel story, and there's parts of share that help to equip people in doing that. And we want people to feel comfortable inviting others to church events or church services, and share will help give people the confidence to do all of that as well. And so I'd encourage you to have a look at that as well, and maybe think about, well, where might this fit within the world of PW and within our local group, or more broadly within our church family as well. I'm just going to close in prayer, and then Pauline's going to lead a time of prayer around tables. Father, we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord, this picture of the church as a body of Christ, this idea that we are a window advertisement to the world. And so, Father, help us as we leave this place to think about how we play our part, Lord. How might we play our part in order to allow the body of Christ to reach its full potential within our community? So, Father, through your Holy Spirit, just be working in all of our lives, in our hearts, Lord, stirring us. Maybe there's just one thing that has resonated with us today, an action or something that we feel like I need to talk to somebody else about that. Let us do that. Let us not leave here and just let all this content and all these thoughts, and let us not forget about those things, but let us hold on to what you have for us here today, as we seek to be more intentional in how we live out our faith amongst those who are around our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.